When I was in college, I was in a Bible study for fraternity men, and one night a debate broke out. Are you a law Christian or are you a gospel Christian? I must confess, I was often a little confused by the question that came up in Bible study, and this was no different. But the more we talked, the more I found some resonances in my own curiosity and challenge in trying to figure out what it means to be faithful. I think you might as well. It turns out the question was implying a sort of shorthand that we Christians run into more often than we might first realize. On the one hand, we might be able to imagine what constitutes a law Christian. This is someone who's focused upon, you might even want to say obsessed by, the rules of the faith. They're focused on the law with a capital L. For this person, following Jesus is largely about a series of do's and don'ts. In the day of judgment, God will be the judge. We'll stack up your do's versus your don'ts. You want more do's than you want don'ts. If not, well, won't surprise you. In this Bible study of 8 college men, we didn't find the idea of being a law Christian particularly desirable. In our debate, we seemed that the only other option, seemed to us that the only other option was to be a gospel Christian. This sort of faithful person was said to be focused on the grace and forgiveness made plain in Jesus Christ. We thought that sounded pretty good. Christians of this ilk are less focused on the rules of the faith than on the message of mercy and hope offered by the ministry of Christ. Only in the extreme would such a person be anti-rule, but they would certainly look askance at someone who's a little too into the do's and the don'ts. Yeah, and I don't think I have to tell you where we ended up. But this supposed question, just a supposed question, I don't think it's a real question. This supposed question of law versus gospel isn't just for college kids trying to derail a Bible study. It is rather something more significant. It's always risky to speak in absolutes, but I would think that everybody here, whether we realize it or not, has at some point, either in our own head or in our conversation, had this debate. If you think that's not you, just hear, tell me if this sounds familiar. We encounter a significant sin in our own life or in someone else's, something bad. And we try and figure out how to respond, and as we do so, we wonder, this sin, it certainly violates God's rules. How would he respond? Does God look upon this sin in judgment? And does he sit there ready to dole out punishment to the sinner? Or is God really just looking upon the sinner with mercy and grace and forgiveness? Is God more worried about the law in this situation? Or is he more worried about the gospel of mercy? This set of questions has a deep root among the earliest followers of Jesus. A related, not exactly the same, but a related and in many ways even more foundational set of questions have been haunting St. Peter when we encounter him in our Acts reading this morning. Peter, after that embarrassing incident around the crucifixion when he denied the Lord 3 times, has been most zealous in proclaiming the message of Jesus to the Jews in Jerusalem and scattered throughout Judea. He is focused solely on bringing the good news of the Jewish Messiah to the Jews, who have been God's elected people for generations. While St. Paul headed out toward the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews, with the message of the gospel, Peter had been focused almost entirely on those who would understand what it means for the prophecy of Isaiah to be fulfilled. He was focused on the Jews. But through a series of events, voices from heaven, dreams, new friends, Peter has had some growth in his perspective. His speech this morning is his first public speech focused entirely on a Gentile audience. The Bible scholars among you may recall a speech given at Pentecost, which was given in front of a whole host of different kind of folks. But if you looked back at that speech, every important paragraph begins, "Now, my fellow Israelites." Not this one, however. This speech this morning is clearly to a group of Gentiles. Instead of beginning, "My fellow Israelites," Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in any nation, anyone who believes, who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." We might be tempted to stop there, say that, you know, Peter's perspective grew just a little bit. But if we keep reading the speech, we'll discover something important. The subject and topic of nearly every single sentence in this speech is Jesus. What has become clear to Peter this morning is that the question is not, is the gospel for the Jews or is it for the Gentiles? But rather, who is for Jesus? What do his listeners make of him? Do they want him to be part of their life? Well, it's not exactly the same set of questions. You can begin to see how these divisions between so-called law Christians and gospel Christians have their roots here in the differences between Peter and Paul. Peter was focused on how Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. Paul was more focused on how Jesus opened up a relationship with God to all humanity. But the ultimate question for both men, and the question for all of us as we struggle between these two false poles — you don't really have to make a choice between law and gospel, you actually can't — as we struggle to live between those two false poles, the question is not, do we want to live up to God's standard or live under his mercy? Rather, do we want to pursue Christ? In all fairness, it may seem like I've spent almost 10 minutes answering the question with not only another question, but with the exact same question that we started with: how do we pursue Jesus? But think with me just a bit more. Peter's development, his beginning with the Jews, it reminds us that without God's election of the Jews, years of relationship with them, the Messiah of the whole world would have looked very, very different. Similarly, we discover that we just can't have one without the other. We can't have the law without the gospel, or the gospel without the law. We discover that without the law, there is no need for the gospel. Without the gospel, there's no way for any of us who are not a Jew to live under the law. So the ultimate question for us is not, do we want to be more focused on the law or more focused on mercy? But rather, what would it be for us to be entirely focused on Christ, striving for the sinless life he models, while certain of the grace he offers? Peter's words this morning, they point us toward the beginning of Jesus' public ministry when he was baptized by John. And as such, it's an appropriate place for us to start our journey with God in 2014. As Christ comes up from the waters and the heavens open, a voice from heaven clarifies all of these questions we've been asking this morning. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." As if we needed any further instruction, heaven itself opens up, speaks, and points us to the real source, ideal, and standard of our faithfulness. I'm giving 2014 a little bit of a reboot here this week. I'm going to try starting it again. Let me just say, it should be a special year for you in your relationship with God. Don't let it pass you by. Rather, pray, read, study, ask. Not merely what does it mean to follow all the rules or what does it mean to be certain of forgiveness, but ask, what would it mean for me to follow in the footsteps of the one who came out of the waters? What would it mean for me to get out of my own baptismal waters and follow in his footsteps and pursue him and him alone? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.